Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Let's go get them.
Matt Nagy.
They understand that everything that we did last year means nothing.
Chicago Bears head coach.
Don't get complacent. Remember the hurt.
2018 NFL Coach of the Year.
They're going strong right now. I'm really excited. It's been a long 2 weeks. Been looking forward to this game.
What if the Bears were to enter the Indianapolis 500?
How would they compete?
Well, let's say they rode together on a big bus.
Is Matt Nagy
driving?
Of course.
Then I like the Bears.
I'm going to challenge you right now, these 2 quarters, for greatness.
Yes, sir.
You got me?
Got
I want to see it come out of you right here.
Yes, sir.
You take this thing over right now.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
Matt Nagy with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Yes, he is. Welcome back in to McNeil and Parkins as we are live at Bourbonnais, the site of Bears training camp, where they've just concluded their first practice of the season, and we're pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Bears, Matt Nagy. How's it going, Coach?
Going great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. It's good to be here.
It is. I'll tell you what, we had a nice cloud cover there for that hour and a half practice, and the guys were rocking and rolling, and it was just so good to you know, they got in the huddle, and you could just hear the guys talking about how good does this feel, and so here we are, and we'll be back at it tomorrow.
Oh, come on. It's country club training camp in 2019. Who needs cloud cover, right?
I'll tell you what. I think you're right with that.
It's gotten a little easier. We always talk to veteran players, and they're like, man, I wish I was playing in today's game for the money and the easy training camp.
Without a doubt. It's, you know, I keep hearing about Coach Reed's 1999 training camp that he had with the Philadelphia Eagles, and to this day there's horror stories about it. So anytime our guys out here want to complain and say it's too hard, I'll make sure I bring out those stories.
Well, Matt, we got you a snack if you're hungry. See, I don't know if you'd like any of these.
Hey,
can you tell the audience what we gave you?
You're giving me some salted peanuts, huh?
So just feel free to dig in.
Salted peanuts. Right?
Yes.
So, I'll tell you what. You know, what's just unbelievably crazy is, see, the players aren't even laughing about it because I guess all year last year, you know, we treat them to Haagen-Dazs every night. Every Saturday night before the game, we always treat them to Haagen-Dazs. And so there's some toppings that we give them. And every now and then, I kept talking about these peanuts that they get. And so they started laughing. And one of our assistants came up to me and, you know, she said, Coach, you know why they're laughing at you? And I said, yeah, they think I'm funny. And she said, yeah, there's a reason why, because of what you keep talking about, the toppings. And so I took it and ran with it. Well, they know about it. So they hear you guys busting on me for the deal. And so they already knew about it.
We heard you with Rich Eisen yesterday. We played those sound, but you're laughing about you can laugh at yourself. And that's a good thing. But we were wondering if there's other words from people from the Northeast might pronounce a little differently. And maybe off the air, we should go over that with you. A list of words that might sound a little bit like peanut sounded when you sang, because that probably wouldn't agree with you real well.
Yeah, no. You know, the only other one that sometimes we get from some of our friends that are out here in Chicago is when we talk about a tournament, and so they say we say that wrong, but you know, it's there's not a whole lot of other words I don't think that we say too crazy.
All right, but you'll be invited back for the seventh inning stretch by the Cubs?
I might be invited back. I just don't know. I might have to change the pronunciation.
We want to talk a ton of football with you, and also some non-football in the 15 minutes we get with you, Matt. We're grateful to the Bears. Thank you, Brandon, for bringing Coach by, but I want to talk to you about you, too. And many have noted that you have a sense of humor about yourself. You are, by NFL coaching standards, a regular guy. I got a theory on why, and I'm going to run it by you. Tell me if I'm nuts. You've lived in the real world. Your path to where you are today was impeded by having your dream wrecked and having to learn the world of real estate. Am I onto something with that? Because you've dealt with people who are qualifying potential buyers. It's a different language. You get a taste of the real world. Things change your perspective.
It really does. And so, number one, I just give my mom a lot of credit for, you know, raising me the right way. My father as well. My parents got divorced at a young age, but they taught me values and they taught me how to treat people. And I always hung on to that. But as you're saying too, once you get into the real world, you get out of college. I played in the Arena League for 6 years. And that's, you know, at first humbling because you're being told that you're not good enough to play at the elite level of the NFL. But then once you're in it, you realize that there's a bunch of good people that that are good players. And so now I'm out of the Arena League and I do jump into the real world, and you realize that there's a lot of great people out there as well that are hard workers at different levels. I didn't love what I was doing. And so now, combined with me being in the real world to now doing something that I absolutely love to do, it's just easy for me. And I believe in treating people the right way, being you, being yourself, and everything else takes care of itself.
Why does it, in your opinion, feel like so many in your profession are so guarded? Like the aura of secrecy in the NFL doesn't really allow coaches to show a human side. We're not asking for the game plan, but just a little normalcy.
Yeah, it comes down to trust. I mean, let's face it. You guys are sitting here doing your job. You're very passionate about your job and how you do it, and you want to be great at it. And I just think that for me, regardless of my experience and lack of experience at this position, you know, last year being my first year, I just respect everybody as people, and I understand that, you know, you're trying to be the best you can be, so why not be honest with you? And are there some things that we have to be guarded in what we say without, you know, giving an advantage to other teams? Of course. But I just respect what people do, and I think you're honest, and you give them what you can give them, and it just it shows humility. Humility is a big thing with me, and as long as you have humility, and you never get an ego, whether I'm a end up being a terrible coach, who knows? But at least I can say I did it my way.
Bears head coach Matt Nagy with us, McNeil and Parkins on the score. With regards to humility, everyone self scouts in your world. How did you evaluate your first season in terms of areas where you feel like you can improve year one to year two?
Sure, it's a good question. First of all, I'm really proud of our coaches from last year coming in and really trusting really in me and Ryan and the relationship that we formed to build this culture. That's the very first thing we wanted to do is we said, listen, we got to build this culture from the ground up. How do you do that? Well, you do that with bringing in good people and people that fit our identity that we wanted to have. So we did that in the offseason last year. We got to the season. We started out, you know, we had a tough loss against the Packers. That's a what a fun way to start your career, you know, in Lambeau with a lead and ended up losing to Aaron Rodgers like that. And that's crushing. But we learned from it. That made us a better team the rest of the year. We had some highs and lows. We went 3-1. Then we lost 2. We went 3-3. Then we won a bunch of games in a row. And it just taught me to trust the teammates and teammates to trust us.
Well, since you took us to the Packers game on opening night, we were just joking about a country club atmosphere in training camp. And we're joking about it. But, nobody, I don't think, wrestled with the idea of veteran players not getting snaps in preseason games. But was your team as physically fit as it should have been on opening night last year?
I think we were. I thought we played well. You know, there's a lot. First of all, you got to give credit to Green Bay for coming back and not giving up. And then for Aaron coming back and doing what he did. We learned from it. I really don't believe it had anything to do physically. It was just part of how the game went. But, again, I'm almost – probably not right saying this, but almost in a way, I really believe that game probably made us a better football team, understanding that you could come back from adversity. And we showed everybody in the world that night that we're here to compete. And we didn't win, but even though it was a loss, we won in some aspects.
I've talked about how I've been alive 32 years. There's never been a Bears head coach in my lifetime that has been progressive, aggressive, and offensive-minded. Mm-hmm. My whole life, it's been very conservative or defensive-oriented, and I hope that you take it further. It's cool to me to see the rest of the league copying the RPOs and other things that the Bears are already doing. What's the next frontier of offensive innovation, whether it's fourth downs, two-point conversions, or something that I'm not thinking of?
I don't know if I have that answer other than we have some things right now that I'm excited to get into with our offense and You know, that starts with Ryan and our personnel department with bringing in, you know, certain players that fit who we are and what we do. You're right. We are aggressive. I do consider myself in a very aggressive person. That's my mentality. I've always been that way. I'm not changing. So however we do that, we will do it. But there's got to be, we talk about calculated unpredictability. It's got to be calculated when you do it. I can be better in so many different areas as a head coach, whether it's a play caller, whether it's leading the team, whether how it's motivating them, you know, just little things off the field. And I'm excited to take everything that I learned from last year to do my part on making the Chicago Bears better.
Matt, very little in football entertains like a fat guy dancing in the end zone on the topic of being innovative. But when does it become risk, too much risk, to play a player like Akiem Hicks, give him the football on the goal line? And would you ever put a player in a situation like that if he verbally expressed to you, I'm not comfortable with doing this. This is not what I do.
No, if a player comes to me and says that, they won't be in. I mean, that's what it's all about. Because you're not going to get their best when they're running the play, and then that affects our team. So, I'm not that stubborn of a person to say, well, you need to be in because that's how we're going to score. We'll find another way to do it. And I know Trey publicly has discussed last year with the Philly special,
right,
how that went. You know what, guys? That taught me. That was a teaching lesson that I learned from that experience with Trey. I felt really bad that we were thinking about maybe putting him in that situation. And I never thought of that. And for him to come and tell me that middle of the week, that's more than fair. So let's get him out. Let's get the next guy in. And now we got a better Trey at tight end.
And I assume that builds trust between you and your players, because they're willing to talk to you about anxiety, and then you're willing to say, okay,
for sure. For sure. And, you know, being open with each other, being honest, having vulnerabilities, you know, that's what this is all about. None of us are perfect. We all have our weaknesses. And as long as we can admit what they are, then we help each other out. And I've been saying it, guys, from day one that I got here, that, you know, there's way more failures and there's a lot more adversity that happens. But I think we've done such a good job at bringing high character people into this organization. I can't express that enough. So that when times get rough, the doors don't close, the whisper zone opens up. I mean, people are figuring out how in the heck do we get the answers, and how do we get this done? And that's what we have with our guys.
Another thing that we've talked about on the show that we've admired about your short tenure with the Bears is your willingness to acknowledge the elephant in the room, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word, whether it was the kicking situation or this year expectations. Mm-hmm. We are talking about this season being a failure if you don't make the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Is that something you embrace, and how do you handle that with the team?
Yeah, so I understand the fan side and everybody. Everyone's so excited here in the city of Chicago, and we love that. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's why we do what we do. It's so powerful to see the amount of fans and support that we have everywhere. You don't have to just be in Chicago or in Illinois to feel that. I mean, it's all across the country. You know, our fans are everywhere. But my job is to make sure we pull back and understand 32 teams right now have a goal to win the Super Bowl. Realistically, how many are there? Well, we hope that we're one of those. But at the same time, we're crazy if we think that we're just going to step on the field and make it to the Super Bowl. Do we have talent? Yes. Do we have high character guys? Yes. But we have to make sure that we stick by our process, and our process is taking it one day at a time with our guys and knowing that you got to have depth as well, because that's how competition's created.
Do you believe you have the best roster in the league?
I'm not going to get into that and say that, but I will say I feel really good with our roster. I feel really, really good. I love where we're at, and I'm excited.
You're the favorite in the NFC North, and you earned that. A lot of discussion in the offseason about the quarterback and his involvement with Matt LaFleur and the recruiting process and how much power a superstar quarterback should have. Your philosophy on it, you're a former quarterback, you're an NFL head coach. What level of trust in your quarterback is too much when it comes to handling an organization?
Well, you know, I think in this case that this exact case that you're talking in Aaron Rodgers and, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks to play in a long, long time. And so for somebody in that organization that has the pull that he has, they have to be able to listen to some of the things that he's saying, and that's important. At the same time, there is a balance to whoever that new head coach is that comes in, understanding, you know, what they're getting into. For us, we're in a position right now where, you know, we have a young guy in Mitch, we have a second-year head coach in myself, where we're learning each other right now as we go, and I just think that each organization can be different, but I just feel really fortunate with who we have.
What is Mitch Trubisky's ceiling?
Well, it's very high. I don't want to put pressure or expectations as to say exactly, you know, what it is. But for him, he's going to tell you it's to be the best leader he can possibly be. He's all about wins and losses. You know, people will talk about stats and how, but we the stats will come, the numbers come, but he's leading right. I mean, just in today, in our meeting today, he's standing up talking to these guys, telling these guys exactly how he wants a route. He didn't do that last year at this time. As the year went on, he started getting to that. Well, here we are in day one, first install, and he's telling his wide receivers how he wants his route run. I think that's a big step.
It's a hell of a season, and it's all national TV and the spotlight and all of that. I'm curious for you and Andy Reid, when you guys meet, you got a bet with Coach Reid? How's that going to go?
Well, we don't, but I'm sure when it gets a little bit closer, there might be something that goes on. I'll throw it out there. I'm going to guess it's going to have something to do with food.
Well, yeah. That would be my bet, too.
It's some Kansas City barbecue against some deep dish.
With a topping, by the way. With a topping comes out of a shell, potentially.
There you go.
With Mitch Trubisky last year, you admitted that it took you a little while to figure out exactly how to get Jordan Howard implemented and try to get a running game to complement your passing game, which is priority. You got some new faces this year in camp. David Montgomery, high expectations on him, and Mike Davis is on your club. Tell us how you see that shaking out, specifically in the preseason, with opportunities to see what those two guys are about.
Sure. I'm really excited to see, in particular, those two guys that you just mentioned, Dave Montgomery and Mike Davis. I'm anxious to see what they do once the pads come on. I know so far from what I've seen, the playbook hasn't been an issue at all with either one of them. They're both very physical runners, but yet they have a lot of ability to make guys miss in space. They have excellent hands. We can split them out, do different things. And so, and people know that other teams know that we do that. And they really fit well with what we do.
Yeah, the versatility, I feel like this year seems like it's fairly limitless with your offense. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. And that's what we like. And, you know, when you're building a team, it takes time to learn who people are, learn who players are, and figure out what do you do best. And so, we had a great opportunity to draft David, you know, in that third round, and we feel like we got a steal. So far, everything he's shown us doesn't make us think any different. The kid is ready to put those pads on.
Are you opposed to talking defense, or should we get pads on for that conversation?
I would love to.
Khalil Mack hit a ton of home runs last year. Everybody who watched the Bears saw that. I thought your most consistent defender was Akeem Hicks. I thought Danny Trevathan was a monster last year. And Roquan Smith, man, my eyes are on him every time the ball is snapped. I can't take my eyes off 58.
Yeah, we have a lot of talent. You just said it earlier. We have a lot of talent. I think for me, what's pretty cool to see now is these guys really – understanding, they're all understanding who everybody is. They know their own personalities. They know their own strengths and weaknesses, and so they're able to play fast. Now you're bringing a defense coordinator, Chuck Pagano, with a little new system, and they just need to figure out, okay, let me take care of my responsibility because the talent's there. And once they take care of their own responsibility, it'll all happen.
I want to see Khalil Mack get in the end zone this year.
Mm-hmm.
Back to offense. And so do you have any other special play call names that you can tell us about? Because I like, you know, refrigerator left and Papa Bear right and all that stuff that you have. What else do you have up your sleeve this year that you can share?
Yeah, we have a few. There's a couple. I can't get into too much because then, guys, if I tell you too much, then,
right,
you know, maybe there's people that, like, no other teams that might say, well, they're going to do this or they're going to do that. So I don't think that's fair to the city of Chicago or our team.
All right. I just didn't know if there was a creative name that you had. Speaking of the city of Chicago.
Well, you didn't hear about Ass Kicking Chicken?
I did. The commencement speech was good. Ass Kicking Chicken.
All right, good.
How long did it take you to come up with that name?
Not long.
Yeah?
It just happened.
All right. I like it. You spent the city of Chicago. What have you enjoyed about living here? You know, favorite restaurants, spots around town?
A lot of great spots. You know, this past, you know, the 5 weeks that we just had off, my wife and kids, they're heavy into baseball. And so our team that we have, we ended up going to New York, to Cooperstown. So I didn't get as much time downtown as I would have wanted to, but I keep saying I need to get downtown more. I'm telling you right now, I am the world's worst movie critic ever. I don't watch movies at all.
None at all?
Zero.
Not even football movies?
At times. I mean, I'm not. I mean, you'd be surprised at movies I haven't seen.
I believe that. So now, what about music? Anything else? Like, away from football, where do you derive the most pleasure?
I'm all into country now.
Really?
Oh yeah, I'm all about country. So I'm into country music, I've been into that for a long time. I love golf, play lots of golf. And
what's your handicap?
I'm about a 13, 14. You know, but I'll be a little bit better next year.
I love golf too. I love golf visors, and you're a visor guy. I have trouble getting. I got to see Tony Medlin, the equipment manager. I got to get a Bears visor because you can see this matches the shirt. It's right blue, but it's all sweaty and stuff. You have trouble getting visors?
You need a replacement, man. That's way too dirty. Yeah,
where's Tony at?
We got to get you one. I got a lot of visors. You know, I do. I have a lot.
Do you have a visor hookup? Do you have like a visor guy?
No, not at all. Maybe I should do that.
I believe it. Well, Matt, thank you very much for your time. You're very generous with it. We're all looking forward to the season, and good luck this year. Don't be a stranger to the show.
No, thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it.
Feel free to take the peanuts with you as well.
No, I'll take them.
That's Bears head coach Matt Nagy with us, McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.